Hello, you guys. Welcome back to another episode of the Undisputed Politics Podcast with your boy, Robert Wilson. On tonight's episode, I will be discussing George Santos. George Santos and all of the lies. The lies his man has told to get elected to Congress, and even after he's been sworn in, he's still telling those same lies. And so I'll be discussing all of that and why it's important that he's not being held accountable and how does it affect Black people. And so I'll be discussing that and all of the things on this episode of the Undisputed Politics. So let's get it. Let's go. Okay, so like I stated on previous episodes, I was going to be discussing about this George Santos situation. And so many of you may be thinking to yourselves, why is this important? And I'll get into that later on in this episode. I'll share with you why I feel like it's important that we have this discussion. So if you don't know who George Santos is, he is a United States congressman out of New York. Pretty much, and just to let you guys know, I'm also going through an article while I'm talking, so just so I can have the facts correct as I give them. So pretty much, George Santos is a congressman out of New York. He's in a pretty, I'm not going to say safe seat for Republicans. He's in a more wishy-washy type of seat. He's in one of those seats where, you know, it could go either way. People normally coin the term for those seats as more purple districts, because sometimes the district could swing blue. Sometimes the district could swing red for Republicans. It really depends on the moment. It really depends on the party, the state of the parties at the time, the state of the country, different things like that. But it's really one of those type of things where it could go either way. So one election, it may go to Republicans. And this particular time, it's a seat that went to Republicans. And so pretty much he got elected. He's openly LGBTQ, if I'm not mistaken. That's one thing he hasn't lied about, the fact that he is LGBT. He identifies as LGBTQ. So we have that. But outside of that, there's been a lot of lies told. And I'm just going to go through the litany of lies that this man has told. And I'm going to talk about them and why it's important. So first off, he lied about where he went to high school. So pretty much his parents immigrated from Brazil. And he says he attended Horace Mann School in the Bronx. And he said that he attended there during his first years of high school. He claims that he went to this prestigious private academy. And pretty much he says that his parents fell on hard times. And all of that happened around about 2008. Now, that's what he's claiming. But the school, Horace Mann, says that George Santos has no record of actually being a student there. Literally no record that there's a student that was named George Santos who attended school there. Literally. And so, it's also been found that he later went on to have a high school equivalency diploma, which is not the same thing as graduating high school. It's literally a diploma that you can get when you turn 60 years old. Somebody can be 60 years old, decide they want to go back to school and finally get their diploma, and then go get a high school equivalency diploma, which is not the same thing as going to the school, actually being a student on the campus, actually knowing the teachers, actually being in the classroom with other students and different things like that. And so for him to claim that and that be the first lie he told, let's come on now. So it goes on. He lied about where he went to college. He claims that he got a degree in economics and finance from Beirut in 2010. But that would mean that he would have made it through a 4-year program in 2 years. That's if he actually graduated from the high school that he claimed he graduated from in 2008, which we know not to be true. The Beirut representatives told him that there was no record of saying, told people at the New York Times and other different reporting aid papers and different things like that, that there is no record of this man at that school. He claimed that he played volleyball. Never happened. Was never a volleyball. This man claimed that he played volleyball there and that they went on to beat Harvard and all this other stuff. He was never a member of that volleyball team. Never went to school there. There's no record of him at that school. Period. He even had the stuff in his bio, on his resume. Never happened. He also claimed that he worked on Wall Street. According to the bio that he gives out and on his website and different things like that, he claimed that he worked at Goldman Sachs and Citigroup. But both of the companies told the New York Times now, both of the companies told the New York Times that he's never worked there. Going back to 2010. But that's only a little bit of lies. We're gonna keep on. We're gonna keep on. Now these are things that he put on his resume. Now we get to the things that may land him up in actual criminal trouble, which is his financial disclosures for Congress. Now, people know that when you run for stuff like Congress and different things like that, you gotta have money. I mean, it's not saying that you have to have money, as in you gotta be a millionaire, but it depends on the district and different things like that that you're running. You gotta have money. And being that he's from New York, you definitely have to have money to be able to get yard signs, to be able to have enough campaign materials. Because when you're talking about a place like New York, you're not talking about getting a few hundred flyers to pass out. See, where I stay at, my congressman is Benny Thompson. So we can have a campaign, and Benny Thompson can spend about $1,000. Get some yard signs, and not even just Benny Thompson, anybody that's running in that particular race can get a couple of $1,000, get a good decent amount of yard signs, get a decent amount of campaign flyers and different things like that to pass out. Obviously you would want radio ads and different things like that, and so you probably could run a decent campaign with anywhere between 25 thousand to $50,000, depending on what type of campaign you want to run. If you want to run a ground campaign where you're having volunteers and different things like that, you would definitely want to run it a little bit higher because you would want to pay your volunteers and things. But if you're running it pretty small with maybe two or three staffers and a lot of unpaid volunteers, you could definitely do it within a range of $25,000 to $50,000. But being that he's from New York, obviously things are much expensive. There are more people you have to interact with. There are more people that you have to pay, more that you have to pay for campaign materials like yard signs and flyers and pamphlets and stuff like that. And so you definitely would have to go extremely higher in an area like he stayed, like where he stays. And so, a lot of the reporting around that has been that he had a salary on his 2020 reporting forms of $55,000, and he was working as a vice president at a business development company. Now, from what I've been getting, he never really worked at the company. He never really worked for that company. I mean, it's saying that he was a freelancer and he sold sponsorships for events and worked on commissions and things like that. But that sounds to me like something they just made up to say, yeah, he was working for us, but he really wasn't. When you continue on, now that was his 2020 campaign. Let me kind of backtrack that a little bit and give y'all a little backstory on that. That was his 2020 campaign. He ran in 2020. He lost that election. Then he turned around again and ran in 2022. So pretty much after he lost in that 2020 race, he started working for an investment firm. Now, it is being reported that he did indeed work for that investment firm. They claim that he helped raise billions of dollars with record returns and different things like that. Did things with Deutsche Bank. Different things like that. A lot of illegitimate things. Just a lot of different things. And that company that he worked for after he lost that 2020 campaign, that company was also accused of wrongdoing, and they are currently in mediation with some different people on different things about what they were accused of doing. So even with that, it's just ripe with miscarriages and different things that should have not been done. And it says now, it does say that he wasn't accused of wrongdoing, but we know when there's smoke, there's a fire. And there's definitely a smoke there. People are saying, is the money legit? It's being reported that on his campaign finance records, it's showing that he got over $500,000 from a personal loan. He personally loaned his campaign over $500,000. But now people are questioning where did that money come from, because according to the records, you're saying that you had a salary of $55,000. How were you able to get $55,000 and somehow turn that into $500,000 in a personal loan? Make it make sense. The math is not math. So when asked about the money, he went on Stephen Bannon's show. Stephen Bannon got a show. I'm not going to talk about the name of the show because I ain't trying to talk about it over here. But pretty much he admitted that he filed a new return, and it's just a lot. He claimed when he went on the Steve Bannon show that pretty much the money didn't come from China, Ukraine, or Burisma. That's what he was trying to claim. Recently on January 24th, he did say that he went back and did some work to his filings, and that $500,000 that he had was not from personal loan. But let's be clear, that's what you said it was from. Okay, period. Now, period. We just gonna keep that at that. Now, that's the biggest thing. Now, this is something that's egregious. Now, I'm just going through a litany of the lies. This is something egregious that he's lied about. The man lied about founding an animal charity. In his campaign bio, he claimed that he ran a foundation called the Friends of Pets United, and he claimed that they saved over 2,000 dogs and cats between the years 2013 and I'm thinking 2018, if I'm not mistaken. No social media accounts for the organization, not a single shred of an IRS record, no ev evidence that the charity even existed. But he claims that's what it was, that's what happened. You had different fundraisers, you had different things. He charged the interest fee at one point in 2017 for an event that was $50. Never, like, come on now. It's just a lot. Now, and to me, that pisses me off. But that's not even the most egregious. You think that something like that would be egregious? You would be flabbergasted at the fact that I would tell you that this man allegedly swindled a disabled veteran. He swindled this man for things that he was doing for the man's dog, and the dog was dying. So pretty much it's alleged that he stole money from the man who came, who went to him for some help, like the dog needed some surgery. Pretty much the man was living in a tent. The man, they needed about $3,000 for the surgery. Pretty much the vet had recommended at the time. Now, at the time, the man, his name is currently George Santos. That's what he's telling everybody. His name is George Santos. And during that time, his name was Anthony DeVolder. Everybody knew him as Anthony DeVolder. But now everybody's wondering what the hell is his real name, because is his name George Santos or is his name Anthony DeVolder? Who is this man? Who is this man? So pretty much the people are trying to, figure out who this man is. Pretty much in that particular case, pretty much he raised money through a GoFundMe, and then after he raised the money through the GoFundMe, pretty much he never gave the money to the man. It was one of those ish situations where you raise money for somebody, then you never get the money to him. He raised money for this man lying about this dog, never did get the money to the man. Pretty much George Santos is claiming that it never happened. But it's screenshots, it's information out there about this GoFundMe, literally showing that he was the one who created this GoFundMe. He was the one promoting that GoFundMe. He was the one that was telling everybody to donate to this GoFundMe, and he never did get that man that money. The dog died. Now that's just egregious. He claims that he's been married before. He claimed he'd been married before. His campaign bio on his website claimed that he has a husband. They got four dogs. But you've never seen this husband. You can't find any marriage license. No wedding ring. None of that. Nothing that would suggest that the man is actually married. He even went even more egregious with his lies, and the man has set up and told people that he had been telling people that his mother was a survivor. He claimed that his mother was a survivor, y'all, of 9/11. All the people, the thousands of people, the families affected by 9/11. And for this man to sit up and tell a blatant lie, this egregious, the fact that she gonna sit up there and lie that his mama was a part of 9/11. Nothing. There's no record of this lady being at the World Trade Center on 9/11. Nothing. Nothing that will suggest she was there. But that's, like I said again, that's not even the most egregious. I'm getting to the most egregious. The most egregious one is the fact that he sit up there and literally tried to say that his grandmother was a Holocaust victim. Of all the things, your grandmother was a Holocaust victim? Like, come on now. The lies. Now, I've listed the majority of the lies that this man has told y'all, and He's told lies about being Jewish. He's told lies and said things about, he said that he worked with and had employees who died at the Pulse night shooting, the Pulse night shootings, not to be confirmed. There's no record of that. He claimed that he was never a drag queen in Brazil, but there's literal video footage out there of him being a drag queen in Brazil. Like, the list of lies is just a mess. A mess. It's just a mess. And so, with that, I'm going to lead into the importance. The importance of this is he's under investigation. He's under investigation. And it's important to note what he's under investigation for. He's under investigation by the Nassau County District Attorney, the New York State Attorney General, federal prosecutors. But it's been reported that he's under investigation for things dealing with his finances and a lot of things. You have things like that. You have organizations that have filed complaints against this man, accusing him of using the money for personal expenses, using his campaign money to pay stuff like his rent. And for people that don't know, it is illegal to use campaign money to pay for things like rent, things like rent, car notes, your light bill and your phone bill, things like that, you're not supposed to pay for with campaign money. Campaign money is specifically supposed to be used for campaign material, normally for candidates who don't plan on running for another office again or something like that. If you, let's say you run for city council, you lose that election, but you don't really want to run for city council again. Normally, candidates will donate the leftover money from their campaigns to organizations or different causes and things like that. And so, things like that are important. Are important because when you look at it, that goes into when they talked about the $500,000. Where did that money come from? Why would you do that? Like, why? Me personally, I don't understand why people run for office. Use money that people gave you to run your campaign and use it to pay stuff like your rent. If you want somebody to give you a charitable donation to pay your rent, you just ask people to give you a charitable donation to pay your rent. And there are people who will be nice enough to do that for you. And so that's one thing that pisses me off with not just George Santos, but anybody. Now, there's other different things. There's just a lot of different things with that. But when you look at it, there are Republicans who are out here like, no, we need to get this man gone, that we cannot allow him to be here because this is gonna be a stain on us. There are Republicans that know better. Now, I'm not saying they know better for the right reasons, but they know that they cannot have him being the person that he is and saying the lies that he's saying and have the nerve to be still sitting in Congress right now. There are people out here, Democrats and Republicans, independents too, who are asking this man to resign. He's refusing to resign. Then you have Kevin McCarthy, who has the nerve, after he barely won the speakership, to put him on committees. Literally, put him on committees. Have put this man on two committees. Now, granted, the two committees that he's on are pretty low level. Don't not too much flair as like the Intel committee or foreign affairs, anything like that. But these are two important committees. Every committee is important. And people who are lying, deceiving the people should not be on a committee. People who lied about their entire life. We don't even know if George Santos is this man's real life. And that is another thing that pisses me off about this situation, is because you had people out here when Obama won the presidency. You had people out here asking for this man's birth certificate. You had people out here wanting to see this man's birth certificate. Yet somehow nobody wants to see George Santos' certificates. Nobody wants to see whether or not he's actually supposed to be in this country. Nobody wants to see if his name is actually George Santos. And so it's kind of interesting to see how it is when your skin is not black. You might be a minority, but your skin is not black. See, they treated Obama like hell on earth. When this man had been a senator, he had been a whole senator beforehand. So if they had any questions about whether or not he was a U.S. citizen, those questions could have been answered when he was a senator. They shouldn't have been asked then, but they could have been. But you want to wait till the man become president, then all of a sudden you worried about whether or not he's actually a citizen. Birtherism. That came from Donald Trump, who has to this day yet to apologize unequivocally for his actions. George Santos is seated on the Let me see. He is seated on the Committee on Small Business and the Committee on Science, Space, and Technology. Like I said, those are two low-level committees. All committees are important, though, but not too many people pay attention to those committees. So that's the reason why they are low level. They don't have the flair. A lot of the issues that they are talking about are not issues that most people are like, oh, let me, I gotta talk, we gotta worry about this. So yeah. Now, before I end this show, I want to talk about the importance of this, the importance of him not being held accountable. They tried to crucify Hillary Clinton over some emails. They tried to crucify Obama for a tan suit. They have tried to crucify Kamala Harris for policies that she had nothing to do with as the mayor, I mean, as the attorney general in the state of California. She was not a lawmaker. She did not put any of these laws into effect. She was the attorney general. She had no choice but to enforce the laws. They tried to crucify her for that. They have literally, they tried to call Ketanji Brown Jackson a predator, someone who's soft on pedophiles. That's what they tried to call her. These people have gone out of their way to do dirty people who are literally doing the work to uplift black people in this country. It now, they may not be out here doing the strong work. They may not be out here doing the work that a lot of people feel like they should be doing, things like reparations and different things like that. But they're doing the work. Now, these same Republicans have the audacity to remove Eric Swalwell from his position on the Intel committee, the gall to try to take the young Muslim lady from her position. I need to get her name. They got the nerve to try to take her from her position on foreign affairs. Have the nerve to put Marjorie Taylor Greene on a committee about COVID. I'm just tired of them. But the reason why I want to make this clear about how important this is, notice how they go after black people, people of color. They have no problem going after black people and people of color. No problem. No problem going after people of color because they know. And the congressman I'm referring to, the Muslim Congress, is Ilhan Omar. I'm sorry. I had to make sure I get her name. But you see how they treat black people. You see how they treat us. It's no secret how they try to do us. Yet somebody like this man will literally sit up in Congress. Well, they don't even know if that's the man's real name. The amount of lies this man has told, you don't even know if he's actually an illegal alien or not. Is he an illegal immigrant? We don't know. The fact that he's told so many lies, we don't know who this man is. We don't know where he's doing. We don't know whether this man is trying to compromise information from the United States. We don't know what this man is doing. We don't know if he's some kind of Russian asset or what. We don't know what this man's deal is. Yet he's given the opportunity to pretty much go to Congress and just do whatever. So that's the reason why people are mad. That's the reason why people are upset about this. That's the reason why I felt like it's important to talk about on this episode, is to show people how the government is when it comes to, and this is it for Democrats too, because I don't feel like Democrats are being strong enough on this. See, Democrats are like, well, let's just let Republicans dig their own hole and this, that, and I understand the politics of it, but at the same time, you need to be fighting on behalf of the people who elected you. You need to be speaking up about this. You need to be pulling Kevin McCarthy's feet to the fire every single day, asking him, demanding, why did you have the audacity and the nerve to put this man on the committee? Why pull up, why aren't you trying to have a vote on censuring this man? Why aren't you calling on this man to resign? You need the seat. Okay, good. But clearly, if he won that seat, you can win that seat again if y'all have a special election. If people in that district really care about Republicans and the values of conservatism and things like that, you should have confidence that you can win that seat again. So it's important because we have to understand. This country is not a country that is going to treat black people fairly, even in politics, even in government, even as elected officials. And it goes down to just like I talked about with Tyre Nichols. Just because you're black in a white space does not change the fact that you're black. I'm going to repeat that. Just because you're black in a white space does not erase the fact that you are still black. And a lot of black people don't understand that. A lot of people feel like they can be George Santos. A lot of black people feel like they can be the five officers. A lot of people feel like they can be like that white, the white officer who killed Tyre Nichols, who was part of the killing of Tyre Nichols. But eventually they find out that they are five officers. They don't give a damn. They'll hold you accountable and they'll let the white officer skirt on by. And so that's how I feel about that. That's all for tonight's episode. Like I said, I wanted to give my thoughts on this. I wanted to outline the lies. I wanted to talk about them and give you guys kind of a viewpoint on why it is important that we discuss these things and why it's important that Democrats, Republicans, everybody in government address these things, because no reason why this man should still be in Congress right now. The pressure for him to resign should have been so swift. He should have never even been sworn in. Should have bowed out before they even sworn in. But the people didn't stand up. The people didn't do the due diligence. The people didn't do what needed to be done. But trust and believe, if he doesn't resign, he will not be re-elected. That's if he's not in jail first. And so that's all I have on tonight's episode of the Undisputed Politics. Thank you guys again for tuning in. Thank you guys for listening. Continue to like, subscribe, follow the podcast on all major streaming platforms, Instagram, YouTube, and as well on Facebook. You can communicate with me on all of the things that are being discussed on these episodes. Thank you guys again for listening, and we're out.